The scripture reading is going to be coming out of Psalm 14. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1. The fool had said in his heart, "There is no God, there are no corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good."
Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. Appreciate Justin reading our scripture, Psalm 14, verse 1. As you all know, today is April Fool's Day, April 1, 2012. And if you have anyone who is young or even young at heart around you, then you can just expect some kind of prank. So consider yourself warned. Now, even though April Fool's Day is not a national holiday, it is recognized by many nations around the world as a day to play jokes on one another. As you might imagine, some countries have different customs. In Canada, they traditionally play jokes on people only until noon. If a person plays a joke after that point, everyone else will call him an April Fool. In France and Italy, people will secretly try to tack paper fish on each other's backs and will shout April Fish if accomplished. Now, April Fool's Day is certainly a silly but fun day. It's funny that we're always trying to make each other look like fools on this day. But interestingly, as I thought about this holiday, I came to realize that God actually talks about April Fool's Day. Even stranger is the fact that there are people who will celebrate it every day of their life. What day am I talking about? My friends, it's the day when a person blatantly refuses to believe that God exists. We just read Psalm 14 and verse 1. And Psalm 53 and verse 1 says the same thing. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Merriam-Webster's online dictionary defines the word fool as a person lacking in judgment or prudence. Now, we may play jokes and call each other fools, but the real fools in this life are those who refuse to look at the staggering amount of evidence around us and still proclaims there is no God. These are truly people who lack judgment and prudence. There was a lawsuit some time back, I believe it was in the state of Florida, where an atheist was taking the government to task for not having an atheist holiday. Luckily, the judge was a Christian, or so he claimed to be. And he looked that atheist right in the eye and he told him that atheists already have a day and it's called April Fool's Day. And then the judge went on to quote Psalm 14 and verse 1. But friends, unfortunately, even believers of God can forget about Him and ignore the evidence. When we forget and ignore God, it often results in falling away and turning to evil. Just take a look at the nation of Israel in the book of Judges, also known there as the book of failures. Friends, let's never deny. Let's never forget God. We'd be foolish to do so. And this is why it's so important to keep reminding ourselves of what God did for us. John 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, remember as well what He wants from us. Let us never become the fools that God talks about in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. Title of our sermon this morning is "Don't Be a Fool." Don't be a fool. So we ask the question as we begin, exactly what is a fool? The word fool is found there in Psalm 14, which we just read, and Psalm 53. In the original Hebrew, it was the word Nabal. Sound familiar? You see, Nabal was the husband of Abigail. Remember, David had helped the herdsmen of Nabal and Nabal had refused to give David's men sustenance. David was getting ready to go down and take his vengeance upon Nabal when Abigail interceded. It wasn't long after that that Nabal died. After he had found out what Abigail had done. And then David took Abigail to wife, but Nabal definitely represented his name well. He was indeed a fool. But as that word was translated from Hebrew into Greek, the Greek word comes from the word Greek word moros. That ought to sound familiar as well. If we ever heard the word in English, we call it moron. It literally means stupid. Moros appears in various forms in the New Testament. It appears as foolish in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 23. It appears as foolish again in Titus 3 and verse 9. It appears as foolishness in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25. When we think about that, friends, when we think of this word fool or stupid, how might it relate to Psalm 14 and verse 1? The fool, the moron, the moros, has said in his heart, there is no God. I want you to take a look with me very quickly to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22. We've just begun the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says in Matthew 5 and verse 22, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." What does this verse mean? Well, I began to study this and I began to look into this. If one called another a fool, it was a very serious accusation. It wasn't something that was taken lightly. The term here used expressed more than want of wisdom. It wasn't just ignorance. It wasn't just that one had no knowledge. But it was expressive of the highest guilt. And it had been commonly used to denote those who were idolaters, as used in Deuteronomy 22 and 21. And also one who is guilty of great crimes, punishable by death. It's not something to be taken lightly, and it's not something that God looks upon lightly. Maybe that gives us a little closer, a little better insight to Matthew 5 and verse 22. So we've answered the question, what is a fool? Our next question, who is a fool? We're going to go through each of these one at a time. But as you can see, as we answer the question, who is a fool? Number one on that list, as you might have guessed, would be the atheist. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But also, as we look through the Bible, we see that he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who leaves God out of his plans is a fool. He who fails to obey the words of Jesus is a fool. Those with misplaced values are fools. And the unprepared Christian is a fool. Number one, the atheist. Again, Psalm 10, 14 and verse 1, just that first part of it. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We look at Psalm 19 and verse 1, and we read there, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Friend, as we go outside, and you look around you today, and you look out at nature, and you see everything that God has wrought, how can you say that there is no God? You get out away from the city lights on a clear night and you begin to look at the moon and the stars, how can you say that there is no God? The psalmist writes of it there, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. How can you say there's no design in that? The fool does. It just happened. Something came from nothing It blew up, and all went, and now here's what we have. Friends, that makes no sense. We read of how those things came into being in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. God created it. And He created it there for our pleasure. To be able to look out and to gaze upon those stars and declare and give Him glory for His handiwork. And we look at Romans 1:20-21. Paul, writing to the Romans there, says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Think about what Paul is saying here. He's writing to Romans. He's writing to people that have been worshiping idols for years. "The invisible things of Him that from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Friends, people could look out and they could see the handiwork of God. They could see the design in things and know that there was a God. "Because that," Paul continues, "when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Friends, how can we ignore the evidence? We look all around about us, and we see the design in everything that God has done. The atheist who says in his heart, "There is no God," is indeed a fool. Then number two, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Notice Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Proverbs writer, most likely Solomon here, and Solomon would know. "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Staying in Proverbs, let's turn over to chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Proverbs writer again writes here, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Friends, we cannot expect to be able to direct our own steps and still receive salvation. Jeremiah writes as much. "The way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his own steps." Friends, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, we're not able to go our own way. We're not able to forge our own way without God and expect salvation. If we trust in ourselves, if we trust to go on our own way, then friends, as the Proverbs writer said right there, in 14 and verse 12, the only result that we can expect is death. Let's turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. I want you to notice with me verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Notice what God is telling His people. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Friends, let that be a lesson to us. When God created man, He always had a great intention for him. Anything that God requires of man, friends, He has it there for His benefit, for man's benefit. He doesn't require anything that's grievous. He doesn't require anything that can't be done. And friends, it's there for our own benefit. You remember Naaman? 1 Kings chapter 5. So he goes before Elisha. We'll take Kings chapter 5 rather. He goes before Elisha seeking to be cleansed of his leprosy. And all Elisha doesn't even come out to see him himself. He sends out a servant. He says, Elisha said, you go and bathe in the River Jordan 7 times. How did that make Naaman feel? He got pretty angry, didn't he? He got angry. You know, I thought that was the whole problem, wasn't it? Behold, I thought. Servants finally prevailed upon him, and he went and bathed, and he was cleansed. But Naaman's folly was, behold, I thought. Remember, my ways are higher than your ways, God says. In Acts 26 and verse 9, Paul, in recounting his conversion, says that he thought within himself, or he thought with himself, that he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. But notice again the common phrase that he had there with Naaman. He says, I thought. And Paul had done these things with a clear conscience. Friends, what does that tell us about man's ways and God's ways? They're two totally different things. So he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Number three, he who leaves God out of his plans is a fool. Notice with me Luke 12, 15 through 21. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But notice God's response. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Why don't you think about this man? And he had wrought much labor in planting those fields. I'm sure he had wrought much labor in harvesting his gain. But he left God out of it. He left God out of his plans. And God calls him a fool. Friends, where does God fit in our plans? That's a question we must ask ourselves. And if God is not in our plans, friends, then at this moment in time, God says you're a fool. We see other instances of this in Numbers 14, 40, and 45. Two men out of an estimated 2 to 5 million people. Two. In Numbers 13 and verse 30 said, let us go up at once for we're well able to overcome it. The rest of the spies says, we can't do it. We are as grasshoppers in their sight. We'll be crushed. The congregation of Israel heeded the words of the many rather than the words of the few. And they were not allowed to enter into Canaan. And so God's punishment was upon them because they left God out of their plans. You see, Caleb and Joshua remembered that God was on their side, and so no one would be able to defeat them. They remembered the things that God had already done for them, of bringing them out of Egypt, by giving them sustenance as they came through the wilderness. And yet, they continued to leave God out of their plans. And so they failed to enter into Canaan. And God caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But then, Joshua chapter 7, after they have begun the invasion of Canaan, They'd already defeated Jericho. There was a man by the name of Achan who had taken a goodly Babylonish garment. And as the children of Israel went up against Ai, they were defeated. Friends, I want to point something out here. You see, before they went against Jericho, before they began the battle against Canaan, notice that each time that they went into battle, except for Ai, whose guidance did they seek? They sought the guidance of God. When they went to battle Ai, friends, they didn't seek guidance. They simply said Jericho was easy, so we'll send 300 men and let them deal with Ai. And in a manner of speaking, they came running back with their tails tucked between their legs. Why? Because they left God out of their plans. A lesson that was hard learned. In 2 Chronicles 16, 1 through 13, we see Asa's league with Syria. Again, Asa left God out of his plans. It didn't end well for Asa. In James 4, 13 through 16, we learn there that we ought to pray if the Lord wills. James pointed out that folks were saying constantly, I'll do this tomorrow, I'll do that next week, friends. We may not have that opportunity. So we ought to pray. We ought to always be of the mindset that I'll do this or that if the Lord wills. What about number four? He who fails to obey the words of Jesus is a fool. Notice with me Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 27. Matthew 7, beginning of verse 21. Jesus speaking there toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Friends, as we look at this, we understand what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 7, 21 through 27. That we must obey His words if we expect to be right with Him. Notice what He says about the wise man and the foolish man. We sing a song with our children all the time. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. How do they get like that? Friends, the simple thing is that those that obeyed the will of Christ, those that obeyed the words of Christ, were considered the wise. But those that heard the words, those that knew what to do and continued to go against His will, what does God call them? Fools. He'll be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And great was the fall of that house. He who fails to obey the words of Jesus, friends, is a fool. We looked at Hebrews, rather, 5, 8, and 9. And we read the Hebrews writer writing there, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. Friends, we must obey the words of Jesus. In 1 Peter 4, and verse 17, we read, For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first began in us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? He who fails to obey the words of Jesus is a fool. But then those that have misplaced values are considered fools. In Matthew 23, 7 through 9, we read, And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, but be not ye called Rabbi. For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Friends, we must have the right values. Isaiah 5 and verse 20, Isaiah writes, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Well, and I get those things confused. Read in Ezekiel about God's people profaning His sanctuary. In Hebrews 10:25-31, we read there, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, 'Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord shall judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Friends, let's be sure that our priorities are where they need to be. Let's be sure that we have the right values. We look at 1 Peter 1:18-19, and Peter writes, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Let's be sure that our values are what they need to be. But finally, friends, the unprepared Christian is a fool. Notice with me Matthew 25:1-3. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." They weren't prepared. As we read the rest of that parable, we learn that they tried to mooch, if you will, some oil off of those that had brought oil. They would not give, lest they not have enough for themselves. And so they had to go to the market and buy. By the time they returned, the door had been closed unto them. They weren't prepared. In Matthew 11:21-24, we read, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Friends, here were people that had Jesus Christ in their midst. Here were people that were able to witness His miracles firsthand, and they still denied Him. They still tried to shame Him, and they murdered Him. They weren't prepared. We look at Luke 12:47-48. "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit such things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, unto him shall much be required. And to him, and to whom rather men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Friends, we have the gospel committed unto us. We are expected to live by it. It's required of us. Let us be prepared. Peter tells us that if a Christian is found unprepared, the end is worse than the beginning. He would have been better off having never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gives us a picture there of a dog returning into his vomit and a sow that has been cleansed or are wallowing in the mire. Friends, I don't know how familiar that you might be with dogs or hogs. It's not a very pleasant thing to picture a dog returning again to eat his own vomit. But neither is it very pleasant to think of a sow returning to her wallowing in the mire. My grandfather raised a few pigs when I was younger, and I remember a few times when I would go out there helping him to round them up or to feed them. It might not have rained in 3 weeks, and yet the pig pen was muddy. The wallows were still muddy. How do you suppose that is? They can't sweat. They have to have a way to keep cool. And so they wallow in their own excrement. That's the picture that Peter presents of a Christian that is unprepared. Friends, don't be a fool. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. We've looked at six people this morning that God considers to be fools. And so our question for you this morning, friends, is are you among any of those six categories? Most likely you're not an atheist or you would not be here this morning. But you may fit into one of those other five categories. Where do you find yourself this morning? Are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? And friends, you would fall under that category of one that has not obeyed the words of Jesus. Would you obey them this morning? Would you become a friend of God rather than being what God considers to be a fool? Friend, the words of Jesus tell us what we must do to be saved, what we must do to obey Him. And those words tell us, friends, that we must believe in Him, that He came to this earth and bled and died upon the cross for the remission of our sins. Do you believe that this morning? He continues to tell us then, friend, that we must, if we believe that, we must repent of our sin. Luke 13 and verse 3, the very words of Jesus. And if we will do that, then He tells us to confess His name before men. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, He says there that if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father in heaven. But if we fail to confess Him before men, then so will He fail to confess us before the Father in heaven. But friends, He doesn't stop there either. He tells us that we must be baptized. And then and only then will we be added into His church, wherein salvation is found. Would you obey His gospel this morning? Friends, don't be a fool. It may be that you're here and you've done those things and you find yourself in that last category of the unprepared Christian. Friends, would you prepare yourself? We're not promised the next 30 seconds, much less the rest of the day, tomorrow, or even next year. Would you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you make things right if you've done so? Please, friends, I'm begging you. Don't be a fool. Would you come while we stand and while we sing?